And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Elba Feliz! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Things rolling on here tonight. We appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. We remind you to get over to a Facebook Soccer Matters, and we remind you to get down to Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, I've driven one for years. I've owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown numerous times. I love the drive of the BMW. The other thing I love, though, is the customer service down there. Second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown will have you covered with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Get in there. Say hello to Philip. And say hello to Justin. They love the game of soccer down there. We've done some live shows from their showroom. And great supporters of the game of soccer. And they help keep soccer on the radio. Another great supporter, David Fletcher, the general manager of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. And, of course, a big announcement coming out today. The International Champions Cup for the second time will come here to Houston. Saturday, July 20th. Bayern Munich taking on Real Madrid. Are you kidding me? At Energy Stadium here. David joins us now. David, thank you very much for coming on the program. Boy, this is a big moment for Houston in a summer where there's going to be a ton of soccer here.
No question, Glenn. And I was just laughing hearing you talk about it. It's amazing. If you're a soccer fanatic, I know you are. What a treat this will be come July 20th. Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, two of arguably the most renowned sports clubs in the world, descending upon Houston. You're definitely in for a treat when you see these type of players. And you mentioned the announcement today of the International Champions Cup. Charlie Stilettano, the great leader of that organization, had a fantastic quote that I think speaks to what this matchup will be about. When big faces big, everybody gets competitive, and that's what I think you're going to see for this this spectacle. It'll be a lot of fun come July 20th.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I mean, the Manchester United that same day will play Inter Milan in Singapore. Arsenal will play Roma in Charlotte, North Carolina. Benfica will take on Chivas of Guadalajara. All right, we also have Gold Cup quarterfinals coming to Energy Stadium, too. So keeping to the trend that was set when Jamie Roots came down here to Houston with Lone Star and bringing big games, including the first ever soccer game, the U.S. and Mexico, to that stadium. We got some great things going on, as well as over at BBVA Compass Stadium with the group stages of the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it all started last night. You know, what a great show it was over at BBVA as the U.S. men's team in Chile came to a draw. But an incredible atmosphere, and you're going to see a lot more of that this summer. I mean, you mentioned Gold Cup. June 21st over at BBVA Compass, Honduras will be leading that that doubleheader event over there. And then June 29th, Mexico and Costa Rica are the seeded teams. We'll have a doubleheader quarterfinal Saturday night here at NRG. It will all come together on that July 20th match. And again, you just look at the star power. We know what the Mexican national team and the Honduran team can bring. Costa Rica has had a great run over the last few years, an incredible World Cup. And then you look towards this match, and I mean, it doesn't get any better. The Gareth Bales, the Sergio Ramos, the Luka Modric, Jaimes Rodriguez, Tomas Muller. I mean, my goodness, for any soccer fan, this is going to be a spectacle here in Houston. And it couldn't be timed any better, especially given this community's focus and efforts around trying to secure that 2026 World Cup host city opportunity. Really means a lot to our community to bring these major events year in and year out. An opportunity here, really four opportunities for Houston to put our best foot forward as the countdown begins to those final selections around 2026.
David Fletcher, general manager of Lone Star Sports and entertainment. So I've already had on social media Bayern Munich fans and Real Madrid fans are reaching out to me about tickets. When will they go on sale? When will that be announced?
Perfect question to ask. So today's announcement outlined that there is a pre-sale opportunity that you can get ahead of the curve on. LSSE.net, that's our Lone Star Sports Entertainment site. Check that out. You can also go to the Houston Dynamo's website and get a link over there. Official on-sale date will be Tuesday, April 9th. You will not want to miss this matchup. And again, for Gold Cup, that opportunity is already out there. You can visit our website. Again, it's LSSE.net. And get you all your details there. Or I know, Glenn, you're always a great supporter. Just listen right here on Soccer Matters, and you'll find out more as we get closer to this summer of soccer ahead.
We will keep dispensing the information. David, thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we appreciate you coming on and filling us in a little bit about Bayern Munich and Real Madrid and what a wonderful summer it is going to be. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, as always, Glenn.
All right, so that is exciting. And keeping up the theme here now with Germany. If you did not watch the Netherlands-Germany match this past weekend, and you have access and an ability to go back and watch that game, unbelievable game. In the Netherlands, it's a game the Germans come out, score the game's first goal, Leroy Sané. We all remember how Leroy Sané did not go to the last World Cup. Well, guess what? He's fundamental to the team now. Just so light on his feet, just so technically proficient in small areas. So Germany comes out under Yogi Löw with Manuel Neuer in goal, Rudiger, Gintner, Süle, Kerr, Kroos, Joshua Kimmich now playing next to Kroos in midfield, Schultz on the left, who had a very good game up and down the left side, Goretzka behind Gnabry and Sané. So Sané scores the opening goal. Gnabry gets another one cutting across the face of a defense. Now, these are two guys that have limited, and I mean limited, caps right now for the full national team. In fact, you know what? Let's roll that Gnabry goal call, because he's cutting across the box. He draws out the center back, Virgil van Dijk, gets a shot off, bends it around him, and hits the upper corner. Absolute sick goal.
Oh, excellent movement off the ball from Gnabry. He's having a fine game. Shown inside by van Dijk. He gets the shot in. That is a brilliant goal. Germany doubled their advantage. The goal of the highest quality from Serge Gnabry.
You ain't lying. Highest quality. No question. So that made it 2-0 for the Germans in the first half. That was their best 45 minutes. Come out at halftime. Dutch fans are shocked. I think it's on the anniversary of Johan Cruyff's passing, so that makes it even more emotional. Of course, the Dutch and the Germans don't like each other very well. And guess who scores to get things rolling early in the second half? Yeah, remember that guy named Memphis? Memphis Depay.
The game becoming increasingly stretched. Promise. Tricky one for Depay to try and wriggle his way through, and he's found the corner. And for the second time this season, the Netherlands have come back from 2-0 down against Germany to get back on level terms.
That would tie it up. Prior to that, Delight had scored on a header, a 19-year-old. He's the guy who slipped on the Sané goal. Sané's getting the ball to his feet in the box, and the defender just all of a sudden slips and falls down. Sané whips it into the far corner. So that goal from Memphis would tie things up. And it's good to see him playing well. According to my good friend DJ Son Andre, he does believe that Memphis produces his best performances with the national team, and there's no question there. So second half, the Netherlands, the better team, the dominant team, going for the win, and it backfires. And here's how the game winner sounds. So this is after Yogi Löw makes a change. He takes Gnabry off. He brings on, he sets up the game winner. Schultz got the game winner, but Marco Reus is who they brought off the bench. Yeah, just a small player named Marco Reus. That's all they brought in. Marco Reus comes on, and a couple minutes later, he makes Yogi Löw look like a genius here. Schultz will get the game winner, capping a great day for him.
Last turn by Gundogan is a nice ball as well. Sané doing what he can to get across, but it's Schultz that puts it in. And almost out of nothing, A 90th minute goal from Germany that surely will see them beat the Netherlands.
That is the 90th minute. And that is like a dagger to the heart. And that's coming in Euro qualifying in group play. So pretty remarkable game. And it was just entertainment, so much entertainment. By the way, the first half, Ryan Babel, former Liverpool striker, now at Besiktas. Well, was at Besiktas, now at Fulham. Babel had two clear one-on-ones. Well, I can't say it was clear. The first one was a clear effort, which looked like he picked the corner out. Manuel Neuer made an unbelievable save on Babel. And then the other one was he was in the box, got good position. It was basically a reaction, just putting a side foot on one. And it was just bang, bang. It was pinball wizardry. And, you know, it was lashed right at in the center of the goal. Manuel Neuer, who made that save. So he was denied twice in the first half. So it was not as though the Dutch were not getting their chances in the first half. So it's just one thing to remember. MLS has signed a deal with MGM Resorts International. It's a four-year partnership. They become the league's first official sports betting partner. This is very interesting now. MGM is going to get access to data for fans and sports betting customers, signage, integration, social media, digital platforms, all that kind of stuff. MLS and MGM are going to work together to do soccer events in places like Las Vegas, esports events, meetings, games, all kinds of things. Now, what we know about sports betting and other sports, it grows the game. It grows other sports and a fan base. There's a certain unique person that has to have some kind of a wager on a game in order to watch it. This can grow the sport of soccer. I don't think there's any question. It can bring new interest. It can bring unique fans. We got to get Jerry on to talk this. And Jerry and Fred are big sports gambling guys. They know it more than me. But fans out there can go a lot deeper learning about players and teams and how they play, because they're going to want to place bets and they're going to want to be educated. They're going to follow people. They're going to go to information sources. MLS doing a deal with MGM Resorts International. There's going to be an MGM mobile sports betting app. So what is going to follow is somebody in MLS is ultimately going to have a sports betting company across the face of their jersey. And my understanding is there are MLS teams that are being very aggressive in this area to get that sort of sponsorship. Now, the first thing I think of, Philadelphia Union, Talon Energy Stadium, right on the water, and right down the street is a casino. Because every time I've ever done a game where the Philadelphia Union play, you go by this casino. So, interesting stuff, but it is another way of growing the game. Carly Lloyd, by the way, came out not thrilled with a reserve role. Now, I thought she was more accepting of that role, but she has now publicly expressed dissatisfaction with the role that Jill Ellis has given her. Now, this was reported by Newsday. She said, quote, and there were a number of quotes, but she said, "No one is going to break me. I'm going to continue to fight till the end, and that's really what I'm proud of, is continuously working hard and continuously just dealing with what is thrown at me." So that's her quote, and this was reported by Newsday. So I'm wondering how big of a deal that actually is, because I think in most camps we don't see her as a starter now for the U.S. Women's National Team, despite all the amazing things she's done. And by the way, she had the hat trick in the final against Japan. So that's one to keep an eye on. But with the Women's World Cup this summer going to be called on Fox, this is going to be one of the most competitive Women's World Cups ever. And when we bring on Alexi Lalas here shortly, I'm going to drop a question to him about the Women's World Cup in France, because the Frances, the Spains, these countries have accelerated their development now. I know Carly Lloyd talked also about the fact that the biggest thing for us is to make sure that we have the American mentality edge. I get that. But you're going to have more than just an American mentality edge. That's almost a prerequisite for women's national teams. She talked about, and this is her quote, she says, "I think sometimes teams get out on the field and they're not intimidated. I think that's going to be an important factor going into the summer." U.S. are going to play Australia and Belgium April 4th and 7th. All right, we're going to get a quick caller on here. We got about 2 minutes. We'll get this done. The caller is La Raza. Let's go to La Raza. La Raza, you got about a minute and a half here. What's on your mind? La Raza, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Glenn, how you doing this evening?
I'm very good. You got a minute and a half. What do you got? You want to talk U.S.
I'll make
Chile?
I'll make it quick.
It's all yours.
Yesterday's games, I was a little bit excited how fast the U.S. was attacking, but I still think that Michael Bradley, he shouldn't be on this team. I don't know. It's just me. I don't know. What, there's something about him. I just don't know. I just feel like he's just old. He shouldn't be on that squad.
Is there a value, La Raza, to his experience in helping nurture younger guys along? Because you can't get rid of all the veterans.
That's true. And also with Michael Beasley, I mean, I don't know if he's on the squad or not, but I know with age and all the wisdom, but it's a fast-paced game, Mr. Glenn. I was just letting you know. And also, I'm very proud of how El Salvador has been coming up. What's your take on El Salvador beating all these top teams in the Latin America?
Well, you know, they do that every once in a while, don't they? And they give you a lot of hope. I think the biggest problem with El Salvador is, look, it's a country that is incredibly passionate about soccer. I've been down there. I've played against Foss and Firpo and the legendary Mágico González and La Chelona, Jaime Rodriguez, with Alianza and Foss and some of those teams. I've been in the country. I've seen it. I've felt it. They are huge fans of Barcelona and Real Madrid also. But When your domestic league is as corrupt as it is, you got real problems, right? Because you need professionalism in order to capitalize on all this passion of culture and youth that are around the game of soccer. So is El Salvador going to come up with results every once in a while? You bet they are. But how can they really be consistent one day to really make a difference?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, I appreciate you, Mr. Glenn. You have a good night.
You're the best, La Raza. Thank you very much. I very much liked his comments. Checking in on the game. By the way, Kiki Strunas started for Slovenia against Israel and Macedonia, 1-1 draws. He comes back to the Dynamo. Minor Figueroa and Elise both went 90 minutes against Ecuador at Red Bull Arena. Ramel Kyoto trained in Honduras, left the camp injured. Darwin Seren, to La Raza's point, started for El Salvador in a 2-0 win over Jamaica. So, a big thank you tonight to all our great sponsors, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We appreciate everything John does. DaspitLaw.com if you get into an accident or you've got and need some representation. Also, Cube 57, 7:30, the pregame show. The Dynamo taking on the Colorado Rapids this weekend. 8 p.m. is the kickoff. So join Eddie Robinson and I for the call of that one on home games. Cindy Bourbano, also a part of our great commentary team. We enjoy bringing you the Dynamo games on the Cube. Kings Court will have a game-watching party with the Cube and supporting the Cube at 7:30 on Saturday. So get over to Kings Court, 903 Hutchins. We'll take a break.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
A un chico de su edad y todo lo que ha tenido que estar demostrando y demostrando y demostrando en cada jugada, cada vez que toca la pelota. Diego Lainez tiene que hacer algo, la expectativa es altísima. ¡Qué gran pelota, Chicharito!
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, just a reminder here, Houston Dynamo in action this weekend. They will take on the Colorado Rapids. 7:30, you can watch it on the Cube. Eddie Robinson and myself on the call for that one. 8 o'clock, the game, this one at altitude. First time on the road this year for the Dynamo. It's all on the Cube. The Cube is your home for the Houston Dynamo.
pre- and post-game show. We'll have all the highlights for you, plus the game call. Again, it's the Cube, your home for the Houston Dynamo. And by the way, Tri-Eagle Energy, I got a new sponsor. There's synergy with Air Energy because they're also the official energy provider of the Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, and BBVA Compass Stadium. Let's talk energy. There are a lot of energy providers out there. There's always different offers ranging from free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, the list goes on. Now, you may have fallen for one of these offers, and months later, you find out you're paying a higher rate or there are additional fees on your bill. Now, it's different with Tri-Eagle Energy. They keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. So check out TriEagleEnergy.com, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN. Well, we're going to end it up in great style here tonight. Alexi Lalas of Fox Sports, former U.S. National Team center back, he joins me now. All right, Alexi, first off, Rat, one of your favorite bands. We intro'd you with Rat, 35 years out of the cellar. What did you do to celebrate today and honor the great band that is Rat?
Well, I cranked up some Rat. I cranked up Out of the Cellar, a seminal hard rock 80s metal album that look, we all have our bands, our favorite bands, and for me, it's Rat. Don't ask me to explain it. It's just the way it is. It came at a perfect point in my life. I can honestly say, there's, you know, we're both music guys, and we can look at albums and say that they changed our lives. And I can honestly say that Out of the Cellar, when it came out 35 years ago, I remember walking home from the record store with it. I remember it changed the way that I think about music. For a suburban kid growing up outside of Detroit, it came about at the absolute perfect time. The music, the aesthetic, the attitude, the color, the glitz and glamour of the Sunset Strip and all that kind of stuff. So it was wonderful, and it remains one of my favorite bands. Not my favorite. It remains my favorite band and one of my favorite albums.
Isn't it Stephen Piercy?
Oh yeah, lead singer Stephen Piercy. So they're still at it in a very different form. They have, you know, members that come and go and all that kind of stuff. But I cranked it up today in honor of the 35th anniversary of Out of the Cellar.
Now, by the way, I had like 250 albums, and I went back to New Jersey to visit my parents. I found all this old bootleg stuff. I got a Beatles white album and white vinyl. I got Stones in Honolulu and Blue Eye. I don't know where collecting this stuff, but I'm bringing it back now. I'm back in the vinyl game. I went out and I bought an amp, and I bought all the equipment, some great speakers. Man, it's awesome to go back in the vinyl game. Do you do vinyl?
I don't do vinyl. You're such a hipster, Glenn. I mean,
I'm a hipster. You know.
I think, look, yeah. We all know that we're going to argue about what's better in terms of the sonic, the sonic output and the audio quality and all that kind of stuff. Look, if it floats your boat to have vinyl and to smell the vinyl and to pull it out of the sleeve and to look at the liner notes and to have that whole experience, then have at it, my man.
Yeah, it's fun, and I'm doing the CDs too because I got a lot of bootleg stuff on CDs, so. I'm mixing it all around. It doesn't mean I'm out of the Pandora game at all. And I am not a hipster. As you know, I don't think I'm not sure I qualify. I do like coffee and vinyl.
You're hip to me, my man. You're hip to me.
All right.
You're a legend. You are certainly a soccer and broadcasting legend. So it's a pleasure as always to talk to you.
All right. Well, our listeners probably are going to say, "Hey, let's start talking soccer." So biggest takeaway from the U.S. 1-1 draw against Chile.
Well, I mean, look, this was obviously a better team. This was a team that came out in a much more proactive, to use a Jurgen Klinsmann phrase, stance, posed a whole lot more in terms of questions and challenges to the team collectively and individually. But this is not the greatest Chile team. But, I think it made us look at this team, and it made us look at Greg Berhalter because, through the game, I think he had to adjust. And I think there's some question people were asking me actually today on Twitter. I got a question about, about the system and is it the system or is it the players? And while I do think that Greg Berhalter is a true believer in what he is doing, and I think you have to be, because if you don't believe in it, then nobody else is going to believe in it. And I do think he's a romantic. I don't think that he's inflexible, and I don't think that he's stubborn, and that's a good thing. And I think you saw some of the adjustments that he made in order to deal with the fact that this was a very different proposition for this 11 players that he had out there. And I think that we're going to talk a lot about whether we're heading the right direction, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it, to be quite honest, is going to depend on results and the Gold Cup that's coming this fall. But coming this summer. So these two games were a higher quality of opponents, but I still think that Greg Berhalter comes out of it and this team comes out of it with a good solid B to B plus ranking or grading, if you will.
He's Alexi Lalas, Fox, former U.S. men's national team center back. So I'm going to take you right to center backs. Matt Miazga, Omar Gonzalez, how about a little assessment on their performance last night and where you think they sit in the pecking order?
Well, you know, I think when you're looking at you know, at this team, and you know, we've talked so much about is it a back four, is it a back three, and that hybrid type of back four and back three, and you got John Brooks, who's I think is there, and you know, I think that when we look at an Omar Gonzalez right now, I think at times he can be an option. I don't think that he's the number one option right now, and I'm not sure that Matt Miazga right now is the number one option either when it comes to the center backs that we have. You know, look, I thought that, you know, Aaron Long and these types of players that are getting opportunities are important. Walker Zimmerman waiting in the wings. So I think we've got a lot of players right now that can play center back, and this is a process that's going to continue on. I don't know what the best 11. I don't know what the best individuals are. And keep in mind, we've said this before when I've talked to you, it's not the best soccer players. It's the best collection of soccer players. And I think Greg Berhalter still is trying to figure out what that best 11 is to implement his specific system. And for those listening out there, that could mean that there's some very, very good players, dare I say it, even some great players that don't necessarily fit. Doesn't mean that they're not good. It doesn't mean they're not talented. And it doesn't mean they might not play a part going forward. But ultimately, you got to have the best people for this system if it truly is a system.
He is Alexi Lalas, big fan of Rat, also a lead analyst at Fox. You see him all the time involved in the last World Cup, the upcoming one, U.S. International, you name it. He's pretty much done it. All right, so I can't stand that we're still wallowing in the misery of not getting to the World Cup. I'm just like, come on, we're over it. It's gone. It's past. We don't have to reach back there anymore. I think we've already got our lessons learned from it. What is exciting to me is the youth of this team. And I don't think, well, for sure, never in U.S. soccer history have there been 20-year-olds who are on big clubs that are playing regularly in front of 40 and 50,000 people. And I'm talking about obvious players like Adams, McKennie, and Pulisic. And, you know, I was driving here tonight, and I'm going, God, I wonder what these guys are going to look like in 5 years. That, to me, is exciting. Could this be one of the best or the best ever soccer-playing U.S. team in 5 or 6 years from now, based on where 20-year-olds are?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Glenn, we've been around a while, and we have seen generations that we have touted, and at times we've called them, not necessarily golden, but let's say silver or bronze-ish type of generation. So I do think that there is cause for optimism, especially when you look at the under-23s. I mean, the fact that we are now having players that, while they could play for the first team, I think we're prioritizing them and giving them those opportunities to play in the Olympic team. I think that's important. I think that bodes well for the future. And I think there's going to be even some names that maybe we're not even talking about right now that over the next 3 years or so, and certainly over that ramp to 2026, are going to do some real damage in a positive way going forward. But I think, look, I am very bullish about the future. You mentioned not qualifying for the World Cup. You know, that is something that we can use as fuel. It's not something that we dwell on, and I don't think that this generation is dwelling on it. I actually think they look at it as an opportunity to say, oh, it's not happening under my watch, and there are opportunities on the field, and there's an opportunity collectively to kind of foster this group of talent, whether it's the one we're seeing over the last couple of weeks with the U.S. national team or the group that's getting together that hopefully is going to have a successful run to the Olympics. I think there's some real, real good players coming out. So I think we can be cautiously optimistic, but definitely confident that there is some really, really good young talent that's going to lead us into the future.
Yeah, I guess the comparison I was making is if you go back to that great 2002 team with Beasley and Landon Donovan, mm-hmm. and all this great young talent, those guys weren't playing in that World Cup having been starters on big clubs in big leagues around the world. That came after for them. So that's why I think it's just remarkable how much experience Adams and these guys are getting. They're only 20 years of age, and man, you know, where could it go? And I've had him on the show, and I know you've interviewed Tyler Adams. This kid is mature beyond his years. I'm thinking of me at 20, and I'm going, I'm not even close to this kid.
Oh, it's been so fun to watch him progress. And then once again, we talk about opportunities. You know, you're going to have opportunities. First off, you got to recognize him, then you got to take hold of him, and he has certainly done that. And it's also been interesting to see it done in the context of a club. And, you know, we talk so much about system. Well, you know, the Red Bull system and certainly what Jesse Marsh started, what Chris Armas has right now, and the understanding of how we want you to play within the system, how we, what your responsibilities are on and off the field, what the culture is on and off the field, and that seamless transition that it seems is both, I think, down to a culture that's been established at Red Bull and also the fact that this kid is very, very mature from a soccer perspective, very, very mature from a social perspective. I think he gets it. He recognizes the opportunity. And it's not, while we take great pride in the fact, it shouldn't necessarily surprise us what Tyler Adams has done. Weston McKennie's, you know, an incredibly flexible player that can play multiple positions. He's going through a really difficult and interesting time with Schalke, and it's not really conducive to him getting any type of consistency or certainly any type of success. And then we know Christian Pulisic right now with this major transfer happening in the summer. It's going to be really interesting to see how he adapts to a new country, a new league, obviously a new team, and also the price tag. He's going to go through something that no American player really has gone through in terms of just the sheer amount of that price tag and the pressure that it puts under an individual.
Are you worried about him from a physical perspective with the injuries he's had lately in a central role? If in fact that's where he's going to be deployed in the future, which it seems like it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm worried that, you know, I say this and sometimes, you know, people give me grief for it, but I honestly believe it, that staying healthy is a skill. And there's some players that have it, some players that don't, some players that acquire it over time as they understand how their body works, what they can and cannot do. And, you know, the consistency of injuries that he is having, that's not good because, you know, for me, if you're only, even for a coach, you don't want a player that has huge highs and huge lows, all right? You also don't want a player that's only available every third game. And that there is a value to the consistency of performance that players are going to give you, that you can rely, a reliance on a player because you know they can do the job from a soccer perspective, and you know they're going to be there to actually do it. There is incredible value to put on that. So that's concerning, especially if you build the entire team around him, either because of where he's playing on the field or just because of the amount of times that you're getting him the ball. If then you take that player out, and we all recognize that he's an incredibly talented individual, but if you take him out and you don't have anything that can approximate that, or the gulf in talent between him and somebody else is so immense that nobody can even come close to figuring it out, then that could be problematic going on in the future. So I hope, from a physical perspective, that he continues to that he has some consistency when he comes to Chelsea, and then obviously with the national team, and then also from a you know, it's not just the physical part of it; it's also the mental part that you have to grow and adjust and evolve with. And he's going to go through a mental adjustment going to the EPL that I hope doesn't take a toll.
Now, do you think the whole move with Tyler Adams, which, by the way, I love the way Greg Berhalter comes out. It's so refreshing, explaining what's going on. He's dropping these nuggets before games. He's giving people a lot to talk about. You know, this role where, you know, Adams is tucking into midfield and then back into the right back position. Is some of that to accommodate moving? I would assume it looks like some of that's accommodating the move of getting Pulisic central and then Yedlin higher up the field on the right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the jury's still out. Oh, even from a Greg Berhalter perspective, I know he'll say that he wants to play Christian central. But, you know, when were the best times that we saw? And I know, he came through in the middle there for the goal the other day. But, the reality is I think he's more comfortable and I think he's more effective out wide. And he can use that incredible quickness and skill that he has to get around people. And so you want to string him out at one-on-one with some space. I think he becomes less of a player the less space he has and the more players around him. And look, that, you could say that for a lot of players. I think the right back position, whether it's Tyler Adams or DeAndre Yedlin or whoever it ends up being over there, or look, even Nick Lima, I think that is just a fundamental part of the system that he's just trying to find the best person that can do that. Because I think Greg Berhalter wants to do that regardless. He wants to have that that right back in attack to be able to move up into a central position to flood that midfield and defend in three and attack in three, if you will, from the back, and then defend in four, which is you know, it's a hybrid type of position. And it might not be the most logical answer. It might not be Tyler Adams. It might not be DeAndre Yedlin. I know he wants to push DeAndre Yedlin further up top, but it might be somebody, you know, like a Nick Lima, who certainly isn't a household name. He's not, you know, he's not a big money player, a big name player, and there's not a lot of attention on him. But that spot is going to be crucial if this is the system that Greg Berhalter is going to play, regardless of who fills it.
Let's talk a little bit about Greg and go back to what I just said about the transparency of him and and how he's dropping these nice nuggets to the media. He's not afraid to say Ethan Horvath is going to start. You know, that may change when the games get more competitive. But, boy, he was down here in Houston, and you know, I did some interviews. I watched him get interviewed. I did Q&As. He was amazing. I mean, he went all over Houston and one by one kept doing these interviews, never got flustered, never got upset. I think he's an incredibly confident guy, and I think that can kind of seep into his team.
Yeah, and I think part of his confidence, Glenn, or his competence, excuse me, and confidence, is that he recognizes that being able to articulate what he wants and be very, very clear, both publicly and privately, so privately to the players, but publicly, especially to the media, is going to help him. Because it lays it all out, and either you do well or you don't, and there's not this, you know, this gray area that so often in the past we've had. And he does make it very, very clear as to what he wants. And it's very upfront, it's very honest, and he has been using the media, I think, very, very well. Hats off to him and to the U.S. Soccer Federation for recognizing it and going out there and giving us something to chew on and giving us something that ultimately makes it much easier but also much fairer in terms of judging him for what he is promised. Now, look, it's still early days. There are many, many challenges to come, especially against much, much better competition. Because let's be honest, notwithstanding our failure of not qualifying for the World Cup, this isn't about qualifying for the World Cup. That's something that we have done since 1990. So this is about being able to compete against the elites of the world, and that's really where we're going to be judged. And certainly within our own CONCACAF world, we got to be able to compete with the Mexicos and the Costa Ricas going forward. So that's when it's really going to be important this summer, obviously, for the first time, real competition in a Gold Cup. But I think, you know, if I were to grade Greg Berhalter so far, it's an A-minus, not just in terms of the results, but as you said, in the way that he has gone about, you know, systematically and very carefully and calculatedly and really very clearly outlining exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah, it's refreshing, and it makes it more interesting, I think, to everybody involved. I think it's grown the sport. It's grown the national team as well. We're talking to Alexi Lalas. Okay, you're headed to do some Major League Soccer work this coming weekend. I believe you said you're going to Orlando. You know, I want to go back to the road in MLS because, you know, we have the Dynamo-Colorado game this weekend, and the Dynamo just cannot unlock Pandora's box to get points on the road. And as you know, it's essential. And I looked last year, and it's like, you know, Atlanta won 10 games, New York Red Bulls, LAFC. These teams are winning on the road, and they're getting a lot of points on the road. What do you think it is that is making some of these teams in MLS successful when it comes to getting points on the road?
Well, I mean, I think it's not MLS. I think it's just in general. And, you know, the actual kicking of the ball certainly is a great percentage of whether you win or lose. But the actual functioning of from a psychological perspective of how you approach games and just the entrenched feeling, whether it comes to MLS or anybody else, that you're going to struggle when you go on the road. And I think it's so difficult from a cultural perspective to change that. And there's many coaches that have tried, and it's not just about having good talent. I think it's really about having a core of players that fundamentally believe that this entrenched type of thinking is BS. And that's not easy. And look, I fell into it. Many players have fallen into it at times where you say, look, it's just, we just got to get through this. If we get a point, that's good enough. Yeah. And being able to say, and I don't think you can do it midway. Yes, you need some help from the soccer gods. You need to go on a streak. You need to have those moments where things fall for you and give you the belief that what you are believing actually can happen. But I think it's really, really interesting, but also very, very difficult. And it's a huge challenge for any coach to try to figure out how to change the mentality that has been so entrenched and so historical when it comes not just to soccer and not just to Major League Soccer, but to sports in general about how to win on the road.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. This thought process of, hey, a point is good, I think
the kiss of death, actually. I think you'd rather win three or four games instead of drawing seven, because if you do basic math, you're going to find out you get more points that way. And why not die on the sword going for three? And you know what? You're probably going to win five, six, seven games.
It should be much more so in MLS than any league, because of the fact that there's no promotion and relegation, and there's no fear of relegation. Exactly. You really have nothing. You don't have nothing to lose, but you have much less to lose by actually going for it. And so sometimes it frustrates me that more coaches and more teams don't do it. But it's easy from my perspective, because it's their job, and if they don't get the results, they're ultimately going to get fired. But the ability to risk more and to be much more courageous, I think, exists much more in Major League Soccer than it does in other leagues. And to not use that to your advantage, I think you're leaving something on the table.
Yep. Hey, last one. Women's World Cup coming up this summer. Big deal. Yep. It'll be on Fox. You're going to be involved. I'm lucky to get to call some games on it, too. I'm very, very excited about it. No question. This is going to be the most competitive Women's World Cup ever, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the U.S. is taking the best collection of talent that we have ever had. Now, we talked earlier about it's not necessarily the best collection of talent. It's the best team that ultimately wins. I think that, you know, you got players up front in some attacking capacity, like an Alex Morgan and a Tobin Keith and a Megan Rapinoe, who are healthy and are as dynamic a trio up top that you're going to find in international soccer. You got a defense that I think, you know, anchored by Becky Sauerbrunn, that is good. I'm really concerned and interested to see the Julie Ertz, not experiment, because I think she's really crucial to this team in the midfield, as is Lindsay Horan. But remember, Julie Ertz back then, she was Julie Johnson, was a standout center back. And so is there a point where you say, you know what, we got to shore up this defense, and yet they pull her back? I still think goalkeeping is a concern, and Hope Solo's shadow is going to loom large this summer, and we're going to be talking about it because, look, she's one of the great soccer players ever to play the game, and certainly one of the greatest goalkeepers ever to play the game. So goalkeeping is going to be in the narrative going forward. And then, Glenn, look, I think it's, yes, they're the defending champions, the U.S., but I am really, really worried about this France team. They are feeling it. They are good. They don't fear the U.S. Speaking of not fearing the U.S., I don't think England fears the U.S. either, but I'm really concerned about France, because if it all shapes up from a structural standpoint, if the U.S. wins their group, France wins their group, and then they win that 16, round of 16, they meet in the quarterfinals, and that could be a big, big problem for the U.S. If they get past France in the quarterfinals of the 2019 Women's World Cup in France, I think it's their World Cup to lose. But that is a big if, because this France team right now is licking their chops, not just against the U.S., but against anybody in this field. And if I had to put all of my money right now, and all of your money, Glenn, I would go to Vegas right now, and I would put it all on France right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, because Canada is a host nation. I didn't think in the last Women's World Cup handled that pressure very well. And we'll see if that elevates France or not. But I think that's a great, great talking point. It's exciting. Really looking forward to it. It's been nuts, too, because in Italy and Spain, they've been getting, for club games, even in Mexico and Monterrey, they've been getting crowds of 40,000 people that are coming out, 50, 60, to watch the women's game at the club level. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the loyalty to the badge, obviously. But, man, it's so healthy for the women's game. It's crazy.
It's wonderful, because when we see that, look, it certainly warms our hearts, and those of us that have been around soccer for a while and want women's soccer to continue to grow, and we've seen it grow in the United States, but we want it to do it worldwide. That's wonderful, because not only does it prod the establishment that exists locally in some of these countries, but it also reflects back on the U.S., and we want to do that, because, look, the rest of the world is starting to catch up, and while we have had a great head start, and we can certainly pat ourselves on the back for what we have done, and we certainly could have done much more, and we still need to do much more, if we sit on our laurels, either on or off the field, they will not only catch up, but they will pass us, and we certainly don't want to let that happen, so we have to make sure that the resources and the energy and the time and the commitment and the eyeballs are there going forward from a domestic perspective, and but great to see it happening on a global scale. We needed to have it happen much more on all of these different countries, so people recognize that it doesn't matter whether it's men's, women's, co-ed, naked, I don't care, as long as people are kicking a ball, people go out there and watch this beautiful game.
I'm right there with you. Alexi, thank you for coming on. I want to see you get back in the vinyl game, and you too can be hip like me.
Thank you.
Alexi, thanks for coming on tonight.
Anytime.
All right, that does it for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 tonight. Again, a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. Remember, the podcasts of this show at PodcastArena.com. Also on iTunes. Get over to Facebook, Soccer Matters. Hit me up on Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. For Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, all our great guests tonight, and you, the listener, we thank you for listening in. Until next week, remember, soccer matters.